I'm pumped. I love this time of year. It's like new life, and I just believe something new is on the horizon for us as Freedom House. He's been saying it. We've been believing it. I've learned, even though it's very difficult, I'm going to tell you it's very difficult. A walk of faith is not easy. Okay, we are prone as human beings to look at the natural. But we have to believe the promises of God, right? And faith is believing what we do not see, being certain of what we hope for, right? Hebrews 11. And so I've been believing and encouraged just what God is doing. And even though things are happening in the natural, I'm still believing. God is going to do what he raised Freedom House up to do. And because it's new season and I sense that God is about to do something, many people are using the word harvest and revival, and we're seeing that in different parts of the world, maybe even here, you know, with answers to prayer, that we need to recast what Freedom House is all about. Why are we here? You know, I believe in the church. I believe in the power of the Church of Jesus Christ. We are one of many churches in Guelph, and we have a mandate on us that no other church in the city has, right? There's no two bodies alike. We're all distinct and unique, but God has raised us up. And I just want to go through quickly the history of Freedom House. Many of you have been with us a long time now. Some of you almost from the beginning, very shortly after we launched, we actually started in our house through prayer with Jim and Wendy and myself and Ruth, who sought the Lord when we left the last church together. Actually, I decided to resign because they were not open to the things of God, the things of the Spirit, the healing, and all that stuff. So I resigned, and I said, Lord, I don't want to take anybody from this church. I don't want to be a church splitter or stealing sheep. I don't ever want to do that. So I said, I leave it to you. If it's just Ruth and I, next thing you know, Jim and Wendy felt a call. Kate started with us. And it's been quite a journey. But in that prayer time, we wrote down, Wendy's a real recorder. If you know her, she's got hundreds of volumes of journals. And I hope you have children who are willing to go through that, because it's going to be a long time of going through. But we got a vision for houses of light throughout the city. When God gave us a vision for Freedom House, it was not to be another church. It was not to be another church building. It was not to be another competing on a Sunday morning with trying to have the best service and the best worship and the best preaching and the best light show and the sound system and all that stuff. That's not what we are about. We vehemently oppose that entertainment, come and spectate model. Okay, that's not what we are about. We are about, God told us, I want to multiply the kingdom of God through the earth, okay? Do you know, for instance, that Jesus only used the word church twice? He told Peter, on this rock I will build my church. The confession that Peter made in Matthew 16, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. On that confession, Jesus said, I will build my church. The only time he used it, two chapters later, when he's talking about church discipline, take the matter to the church if they don't listen to you, okay? So, Jesus came to bring the kingdom. The church is the means by which the kingdom of God comes into the world, okay? He has gifted us and empowered us with Holy Spirit to do incredible things, okay? We have power and authority to go and push back the kingdom of darkness. That's who we are. And we are unashamedly that. We are boldly declaring the cross of Jesus Christ upon which and whereby which Satan was defeated. Okay, he destroyed the works of the devil on the cross. The cross is our victory. It's our power. We have been crucified with Christ. We no longer live. Christ lives in us. Okay, that's Galatians 2:20. The heart of Freedom House is to preach the good news of the kingdom. Okay, that is what Jesus came to do. You can go through like the book of Matthew. I encourage you to do that over and over and over. It's all about the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. The church, the word church literally means ecclesia, they called out ones. These are the ones who have been called out of the world, have been saved because they've come to the cross, they've repented of their sins, they've been born again by the Spirit of God. Okay, no one can get into the kingdom lest he be born again, John 3. Okay, just telling you, it's not a work of you. You don't work your way to God. God does it supernaturally. He chooses, he calls out, and he says, are you willing to come and serve me and live for me? Because the moment you say yes, you repent of your sins. How do you get saved? You repent and you believe. Or you repent and you're baptized. Repent means I'm no longer going in the way of darkness, in the way of the world, sinful lifestyle. I'm turning to Christ. Okay, that's what repent means. Repent and turn to Jesus and give him your life. And he, you know, I have so much stuff in me I could preach. But when a person does that, he or she renounces the world. Okay, you say no to the world. I'm not following you anymore. I'm going to follow Christ. If you read passages in Luke, three times Luke will say, it will cost you to follow me. Okay? And one of those costs will be your family. Okay? And that's a very tough call. Okay? But what he's saying, he actually said in Luke that you need to hate your family members and love me. But what he was really saying is you need to love me more than them, because they will keep you back. Well, come, let's go. Well, just let me bury my father. Right? Let me deal with this family issue first. Anyone who is not willing to forsake all is not worthy of me, he said. That's a really strong call, but it's scripture. And we need to read the scripture for what it says. We believe the word of God. Freedom House believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the word of God. And Jesus calls us from this world into his kingdom. And when we say yes to Jesus, when we come to him and receive the sacrifice that he paid on the cross for our sins, to take away our sins, okay? Not just forgive them, but to take them away. That's a big difference. He calls us saints, not sinners. And a lot of people, if they would just understand what Christ did for us, that we're no longer sinners, we're saints, we'd have a whole new outlook on life. Because you will walk out what you believe about yourself. As a man thinketh, so is he. If you think you're a sinner, guess what? You're going to sin. If you think Jesus has paid the price for sin and rescued you from a sinful lifestyle and filled you with his Holy Spirit so you have the power not to sin anymore. Okay. But if we do sin, we have one who's faithful and just. We confess our sins. He forgives us and sets us on our way again. Right? He intercedes for us. I mean, there's so just tons and tons of scripture about this. We sing about who we are in Christ. We are forgiven, redeemed, chosen. We are put into Colossians 1:13. God has taken us out of the kingdom of darkness and put us into the kingdom of the Son of God. Okay, we're in a different kingdom. He has set up his kingdom. The kingdom of God is within you. The moment you believe, the moment you're born again, the kingdom of God is in you. And so why has Christ called out, built the church? To declare the praises we saw in 1 Peter 2. To declare. He wants the church of Jesus Christ to declare the kingdom of God. That's what he declared. He wants us to declare that. And not only that, he wants us to demonstrate the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is power. Okay? We are a supernatural people. Kim just shared that. Nobody else can talk about angels coming and saving you from accidents. Right? Nobody can. But we have a God who's for us and not against us. We have a supernatural God who can do supernatural things. He's done a supernatural work in us. He's setting us free. And so, Freedom House is about freedom. This is our vision statement. So we're not advancing the church. Okay? Jesus said he'll build the church. We're not here to do that. We'll let him do that. We are to advance the kingdom of God. How do we do that? We equip and we release. Now that's pretty radical. And we're not about size. Okay? We're not about a big church. Trust me, big church has big problems. They got buildings, they got staff, they got all kinds of boards and structure, and they got people who come and sit in the pew and expect. Okay? There's only one thing we expect, Jesus to show up every time we're together, and Jesus to equip us and fill us up so we can go and serve him. So we are about advancing the kingdom of God by releasing spirit-filled, spirit-filled. We don't do this in the flesh. There is the power of Christ in us through the Holy Spirit. You will be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Okay? That means you will testify to the reality of the kingdom of God in your life. Okay? If you read the book of Acts and you see that in chapter 1, Jesus says, you will receive power. Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then you look at what they do. The first thing after they receive the power in chapter 2 is they go and raise a guy up who's been crippled a whole long time. They're going to the temple. Hey, I don't have any money. Get up. I'm here to feed you and give you money and keep you there. The kingdom of God is not about that. It's about people being whole and set free. Okay? That's what we're about. We're not here to play church. Releasing spirit-filled followers. If you are spirit-filled and a follower of Jesus, you will live the kingdom. That's what you will do. Let me show you Matthew chapter 10. Let's go in the scripture real quick. Let's go to Luke 10. Sorry. We'll do Luke 10. One of my favorite chapters of all time. I could take you to Matthew 10. It's a similar passage, but this one has a really cool thing, which I've preached on many times. Luke 10, verse 17. So he sends out the 70 disciples. 70, not the 12. People say, oh, it's just the apostles that have the anointing to do this. No, it's the 70, the church, okay, the representative church. Verse 17, they were sent out, and they were told, verse 9, heal those who are sick. Say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. There's the message. I want you to go out and demonstrate the kingdom and preach the kingdom. Verse 11, even the dust of your city which clings to your feet, wipe off and protest against you, yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. Okay, if they don't receive yet, that's fine. Just go in the power of the kingdom. So they come back, and they say this in verse 17. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. We're going out there, we're casting out demons, and we're healing the sick, and they're all excited. And Jesus says this, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. When you guys live like that, the enemy's defeated. When you go and live the kingdom loud in the world, the enemy falls. Do you see that? Now this is really cool. I love this part. God is an emotional God. Did you know that? Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. Don't get too excited about casting out demons. Rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. It's about salvation. Yeah. It's about you knowing that you're saved and you belong to heaven. At that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. And some of the translations, if you look up that passage, he's dancing. He's like, woo! I can't believe it. He never says that because he believes it. But the disciples go, I can't believe it. It's real. What we saw you do, we can do. And he's all excited that they got it. That's the church being the church. It's not boring Christianity week after week, you know, for 2 hours, you know, listening to worship and preachers preach. And then going and doing nothing. The only reason you come here is to get equipped and encouraged to go and live the kingdom. Okay? That's why this exists. Sunday morning is about testimony. It's about being equipped in the Word of God. And so, just great, amazing reality. When you have eyes to see the kingdom of God, you see that God has really chosen a group of people who are willing to live loudly for him. And let's go to Matthew 28. I'm all over the place, but that's okay, because I just say, God, do whatever you want to do. Teach whatever you want to teach. And by the way, I wanted to say this. I want to cast the vision for Freedom House, okay? And I want you to understand what we're all about. And I put those three things that are very important to us on the screen. And if, while I'm talking, you have questions, just ask, okay? Because I want you to get this. I want you to know what we're all about. So we're not saved to fill pews. He doesn't bring us into the church to fill pews. He brings us into the church to follow Jesus and go out in freedom and joy, okay? So Matthew 28, he actually says, you know, this is the Great Commission. All authority has been given to me, and you are in Christ. You have authority and power because you're in Christ. Verse 18, Matthew 28. He says, because I have the authority, I'm the king of the kingdom, and you are subjects of the kingdom, and I give you that authority, now go into the world. Go into the world. Make disciples. What is a disciple? Someone who is willing to sit at the feet of Jesus. Someone who comes to Jesus, repents of their sin, and is willing to be taught and filled with the Holy Spirit to live for Christ. That is a disciple. Okay? He doesn't say go and make church members. He doesn't say go and make pew warmers. Go and get people for a worship team. Go and get, you know, people who are well-dressed and have money. He doesn't say any of that. He says, you go and you make disciples. Okay, that's the mission of the church. What is the mission of the church? To reproduce ourselves. How many are disciples of Jesus? You've been walking with Jesus a long time. You know him, you live for him, you're filled with him. Your mission is to make someone just like you. That's your mission. Okay, a disciple, someone who is willing to follow you as you follow Christ. That's what Paul said to Timothy. Train up people, as I have trained you, who are able to go and train others. There's a reproduction happening. 2 Timothy 2:2, okay? And friends, can I just say, you are doing a great job of that. I look around, and I think, you know, I think of all the people that you have discipled over the years, and they're not here at Freedom House, but that's fine, because you've spent time with them, you've prayed with them, you've taught with them. I think of Heidi and Bruno reaching their neighbors, even like older people in their neighborhood they've known a long time, inviting them to partake, inviting them in, sharing Christ with them. You know, Janice, and there's so many people that have been here a long time. And they're doing it, and I get, there's nothing, and I feel like Jesus, sometimes I just want to jump up and down when I hear, you know, the reproduction with Aaron, and then now someone else is going to come on the team, and just think, oh my goodness, God is good. God is good. We are reproducing ourselves. I think, you know, Kim and Jim opening their homes, and that house church is growing, and Kim's always spending time with people, and friends, we are the only Jesus that people will ever see. We're the only opportunity to impart, to make a disciple that person may ever have. It's phenomenal. God has entrusted the kingdom of God to us. It's within you. And he says, go and live it out loud, and I will fill you and give you the power to live it. And so he says here, go and make disciples. Make disciples. Those who want to learn, those who want me to... I could keep going for hours, but a disciple is someone who is willing to put themselves under the rulership and the lordship of the king, okay? Because you're called out of the world into the kingdom of Christ, and you have Jesus as your king, and you choose to follow him. That's what a disciple is, and you choose to learn of him. That's our mission, to go and teach people. Baptizing them, okay? Baptism is important. Repent and be baptized, Peter said. Why is it important? Because you are publicly declaring to the world that I no longer live for my sin. I am dead to my sin. I am coming out of this water dead and alive to Christ. The resurrection life of Jesus is in me, and I'm choosing to live for him. It has to happen. And I don't care if you were baptized as a baby, as a Catholic. It doesn't count. Okay? You have to be baptized as a believer. And it's exactly that. It's a choice to surrender your life publicly. You're telling your family members and everybody, I have chosen Jesus over the world. Now, what else has he said? He's telling his disciples to do this, right? Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. There's a king. There is a rule for the kingdom. And he says, go and teach people to obey that rule. You're truly my disciples if you obey my commands. You love me by demonstrating you obey my commands. That's all through the Gospel of John. And you cannot say you love Jesus but won't obey him. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Okay, Matthew 7. So let's go to the second commission in Mark. The end of Mark. I've mentioned this many times over the years. That the translators have wanted to get rid of this passage. Many people have said, oh, it doesn't belong with the original. Well, it's in every Bible I've ever read. Verse 15 of Mark 16, commission, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. The gospel, which gospel? The only gospel of Jesus, the good news of the kingdom of God. Not the good news of the church, the good news of the kingdom of God. And whoever has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Ooh, wow, did you see that? Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Woo! When are you really saved? But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Now watch this. Friends, why does Freedom House exist? Because of verse 17. Why has he hooked us up with House of Worship and Prayer, who also have a healing center? Why? Because of this verse. These signs will follow, accompany those who believe. They will, in my name, cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. If they drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Amazing. Verse 20. They went out, they preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by signs and wonders following them. Okay? When was the last time you saw someone preaching Jesus with signs and wonders following them? That's what Freedom House is here for. That's why God raised us up. You know, when we were at the other church, I told you before, not that long ago actually, it was an inner city ministry and people were really broken and hurting. And they were lost, and Satan had them in bondage to addiction and alcohol and poverty. And Jesus, when he wants to do someone in someone's life, it's miraculous. It's powerful. You don't get them in a church and sit them in a pew and just preach boring sermons at them. You introduce them to the person of Jesus Christ and the power of Holy Spirit. And so we were praying with them and casting out demons and speaking life over them and prophesying and setting them on their way. Woo! Religion rises its ugly head. We're just living out the gospel. You can't do that here. We're not like that. That's when I left. I got to live what Jesus called me to do. Because I have one mission, to proclaim him. How do I proclaim him? Through word and deed. What is the deed? To declare the kingdom of God with power, signs and wonders. That's the mission. That's your mission. Okay? You've joined Freedom House. If you are part of Freedom House, that's your mission. Are you with me? Good. Let me ask you a question. Are you serving Jesus in freedom and joy? Is there joy in your heart because you're following Jesus? Is there freedom? I got all these freedom texts. It's amazing. Do you know that it's for freedom that Christ has set us free, Paul said? Do you know that he who has a son is free indeed? Right? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What is the truth he's talking about? That he forgave your sins? You don't have to live by the law anymore. You can live in the grace of Christ and go and live your life, not bound by rules and regulations, but live to be who you were meant to be. That's freedom. It's not about coming into a church and every Sunday and religiously going and going and going. Jesus wants to grow the kingdom through you. You're it. You're the one he wants to demonstrate the kingdom through. There's no plan B. That's right. It's an amazing calling. And God is calling people out of boring church. It's all over the world. People are leaving the church like crazy. And they're looking for authentic community. Do you know, when you read the Gospels, or when you read the book of Acts especially, what is the number one way they did church? house to house. Okay? Well, I'll take you there right now, Acts 2. So Paul would go to the synagogue and he'd preach. He was looking for people to recruit. He was looking for the people of peace within the Jewish community, to the Jew first. Then we'd go and preach the gospel to them. And if he got thrown out and attacked, obviously he would, it says he would go to the house. He would go to Lydia's house, or he would go to someone else's house who was nearby. And he would preach from there. So he would try in the big, and obviously when the church got big and people started to say, these guys are causing a problem, they're turning the whole world upside down, we got to do something about them, let's persecute them, they go from the large into the small. And then you read, they're in houses. The church that meets at Lydia's house, the church that meets at Aquila and Priscilla's house, okay? And so they go into the house, and it's amazing what happens. Holy Spirit is falling on the house. They're inviting their neighbors, and Holy Spirit is coming and baptizing them. And it's beautiful to see the people of God going and inviting their friends to the house, and they're seeing what God is doing, and they want to be part of it. It's so amazing. Anyway, Acts 2. Here's the model. You say, what did the early church do once they were filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, they were continually, verse 42, Acts 2, devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were being taught. They were brand new. They needed to know what it was all about. So it was teaching. It was the Word of God. The Word of God was absolutely central. That's why here's our motto. I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. The power of the Word and freedom, they go hand in hand. You can't have freedom without the Word of God. This church is built on the person and work of Jesus Christ. And it's built on the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful and effective, able to cut a person right down the middle, Hebrews 4:12, right? Open a person right up and expose what's really going on. That's the Word of God. And so we unashamedly preach the Word of God. It also says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is God-breathed. God breathed it. And it's useful and necessary for instruction and correction and reproving and training up a follower of Jesus in righteousness. Okay? You can't do without the Word. Listen, let me just say this. The Word of God is even more important than casting out demons. The Word of God will change people. It will, you know, you sometimes there's a block and you need to do the spiritual warfare and cast out the demon. But often it's the power of the Word that will just awaken them to the reality that I got to deal with this issue. And I got to line myself up with the Word of God. And so we unashamedly teach the Word of God. Then the demons leave because they know the door's been closed. They no longer have access. To breaking of bread in prayer. This is not little wafer cups, religiously passing them out. These are meals. They were called love feasts. You know, Freedom House started based on this scripture. We started doing meals every Sunday. It's a lot of work to do meals. But I'm going to tell you something. The reward for the effort is greater than the work. Okay? Because community is built, love is built. There's no greater way to get to know someone by sitting across a table with them and sharing a meal, sharing communion even. Communion, always, the communion usually followed, it was part of the love feast where Christ was always, they always bring it back to the cross, always back to Jesus, okay? And we encourage that. We encourage that in house churches. There's something intimately awesome that happens when a house church shares a meal together or shares communion together, okay? Hard to do in a big church. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. They broke bread and to prayer. Prayer, teaching, breaking bread. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Wow. Can you feel the love of God in this place? Can you feel how Jesus is moving amongst us? Can you see how people are crying with the presence of God? How people are repenting? They're confessing their sins one to another. All the one another's are happening. Great signs and wonders are taking place. God is moving. You know, 1 Corinthians 14:26, where Everyone in the group has something going on, a word, a prophecy, a teaching, a scripture verse, a hymn. They're all sharing. Holy Spirit's moving in them, and they're spontaneously praising God and spontaneously get a word from the Lord, and they're sharing it, and people are, woo, Jesus is among us. That's church. That's the kingdom of God. All those who believe were together and had all things in common. They began selling. They began, just let me sum this up. They began looking after one another, meeting each other's needs. And verse 46, day by day, continuing with one mind. There's unity. They were united. In the temple, okay, it's brand new, 3,000 people. They're meeting in the temple courtyard and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. What an amazing picture of the church being the church. Not religious, just living life together and allowing Jesus into that life. And I'm probably going to have to do many sermons on this, but because I'm not getting very far. But this is what Freedom House would really birth. The vision was houses of light throughout the city, okay? It was never about congregating and building a church. Listen, even owning a church. We don't want to be bound by a building and maintenance and all that stuff, okay? We don't ever want to be bound with that. It's great to have a building. We need a building to meet. But it's much greater that your neighbors see you gathering in your house. And they say, what's going on over there? Everybody leaving their house, that house with Bibles in hand and smiles on their faces and burping and, you know, they look happy. I think that's cool. Comment so far? One last thing. My little pet peeve. Just go ahead, Shelly.
Just to say what you were saying, you know, to be that church. So this one girl that I lightly say I've been discipling because I've been just been watching the Holy Spirit do the work, and it lands to where you said, just fill up with the word, fill up with the word, just keep taking the word. And a few weeks ago, her neighbor was outside, and she came out, and her neighbor said, oh, what's going on with you? Oh, what is happening? You're so changed. And they haven't talked in the winter, but she was seeing something from her neighbor. They've known each other for 20 years. And she invited her in, and she said, oh, it's God. Like, Jesus has changed my life. And they sat there and they talked. This is like when God moves, and the Holy Spirit just does the work.
Amen. Yes. And your whole street and your neighborhood should know where they need to go to find Jesus, or where they need to go for prayer, or where they need to go if they need comfort. And we keep praying. We have been praying for quite a while. We finally had our neighbors over last night. They moved in a little over a year ago. It was a great meeting. We didn't sit them down and preach at them. We just loved them and blessed them with a meal and talked about their life, and it was amazing. It was great. You know, I know you're there. I know that we have the same heart. I'm so grateful for you guys because I know my sheep, and I know they love Jesus, and I know that they're reaching out and wanting other people to meet Jesus, and I get really excited about that. And I think of the house churches and what's happening, and wow, I'm really excited. We're going to keep talking about this, but I just want to encourage you, like, keep going, keep following Jesus. He's on the move. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep loving Jesus. Keep reading his word. Keep hearing his voice and looking for that person of peace. I could go into all kinds of stuff about that, but if we are truly led by the Spirit of God, we will see more fruit and less discouragement, right? And it's really important because the enemy is always out there trying to discourage us. I'm going to read the mission here. So we're about freedom. Here's our mission statement. If you go to the website, it's all expounded. But God gave us this in prayer in our living room when we were planting. It says, your people, Jesus' people, will rebuild the ancient ruins, raise up the age-old foundations. You'll be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. So God gave us this to rebuild lives ruined by destructive behaviors and address sins and come alongside individuals and walk with them. To raise up new foundations through solid biblical teaching, to get that foundation, those lies and those belief systems out, and to fill them with the Word of God as a new foundation. To repair broken walls, to teach people all kinds of practical things, how to have good relationships, how to have a relationship with Jesus, to stop the enemy from breaking walls and restore streets. When all that happens, neighborhoods are transformed. When people are transformed and they open their house to other people to experience Jesus, the neighborhoods start to get transformed. Whole streets get transformed. We can take cities for Christ. Okay? There are probably 100 churches in Guelph. 17 years ago when I came here, I counted the churches. There were like 58 churches. There was a whole bunch just in the downtown core. Okay? Really no effect other than just feeding poor. But nobody's allowed to preach the gospel when that happens. Friends, let me tell you something. How can a city be saved? How can Guelph be transformed by the love of Christ, the gospel of the kingdom, is when we in our homes are ministering the love of Christ to our neighbors and inviting them in. When you know, I just think Kim and Jim's house, you know, they're on a cul-de-sac, if you haven't been there. They minister to the whole cul-de-sac. It's really cool. Everybody on our street knows us. We've made it a purpose to get to know every single person on our street and to connect with them and say hi and talk to them. And I see them go out and I go out and get my mail at the same time as that guy so I can talk to them. You know, it's intentionality. I want to be Jesus to people. And, you know, the one neighbor who's pretty hard, he went through a stroke or a heart surgery, whatever he had, not that long ago. And I met him at the mailbox and said, we're praying for you. And he made it through. He made it through. And he recognized that, thank you for your prayers, he said. You know, just stuff like that. Yeah, no, God is able to break the toughest heart, right? I was going to just say Isaiah 61, Luke 4 is very important to us. Luke 4 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to preach the good news, to declare the year of the Lord's favor, to release the captive, to open the prison doors and declare the just freedom, liberty, right? Jesus came to set people free and to fill them with hope and love. And he's empowered us for that. And so I just want to bless what you're doing and continue to praise God for you. And if you need anything, as far as, you know, you say, Mike, I want to open my home, I want to get more into this, I want to make disciples, then just come and talk to us and we'll connect you with someone who's able to train you, or we'll take you alongside. But let me just give you a quick story. You guys know Steve Taylor. He's been a friend over the years, and I think we connected with him through Jim and Kim. He's a really cool guy. You know, we all have different giftings, right? Every single one of us has a gift. And we might have the same gift, but it's unique to us. God uses it the way we're wired. He wired us, and you know, one gift of prophecy is different than the other gift of prophecy. But when he came in the healing center on Friday and brought this guy, he'd been working with this guy. He intentionally he does renovations. He's like quasi-retired. And he's been working in some of the downtown homes where some of these you know, the guys who are down and out, struggling, stay. And he ministers to them. So he's starting to see fruit. Like, he's getting bolder in his preaching. And when he brought this guy in and we were speaking to him, the guy kept saying, yeah, Steve told me that. Yeah, Steve shared that with me. So, yeah, Steve, all the verses that I was giving, Steve had already shared. And this guy is just lighting up. He went through a really hard time. But I see, you know, Steve just connected. I'm not saying it's us. It's not us. He was already on his journey. He's already, but I just use him as an example because you guys don't know him mostly. But I see the fruit in his life because he's intentional about reaching out and sharing Jesus and coming alongside someone and walking with them. That's what making a disciple is. That's all God is asking us. Okay? And many of you are there. And be encouraged. Because I hear so many stories. People are just sharing what God is doing, and God, they're ministering to people. And some, there's hard ground, but keep going. God is able to soften that ground. And then, you see Aaron, what's happening, and God is for us. And he's for his kingdom. And he really wants to use us and display us. We are trophies of his grace. Okay, Ephesians 2:10. We're his masterpiece, workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which he prepared in advance for us to do. He's got this whole list of things he wants you to accomplish, and the only way you're going to accomplish it is if you surrender to Jesus and say, Jesus, you lead me today. Lead me today. I know there's someone out there who needs to hear. Last week, it was all Jehovah's Witness people, one after another. They even came to my house. It was not a good encounter. But they heard the truth, okay? God wants to use you, and I encourage you to get to know him, spend more time with him, and share your stories in your house churches. I want to continue to encourage you. Encourage one another in the Lord, okay? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ, this body of Christ that is Freedom House. I thank you, Lord, for how you're working, how your word, which has been sown by us in many lives, is taking root and producing fruit. Father, I lift up every home, every household to you here represented, family members, children. Lord, I thank you for the harvest that you say is coming. It's already out there. The fields are white for harvest. Father, I thank you that all the sowing, the seeds that have gone out over the years, the watering and the fertilizing of those seeds, Father, there's a harvest coming. I pray, Lord, for the Spirit of God to encourage us in the harvest, that our eyes would be open, that we would be encouraged to keep going. Lord God, you are using your church to build the kingdom, and we are your people, and we will follow you. And I thank you, Lord, even for those right now who are saying, well, I don't do any of that. I thank you, Lord, from right now on, that's going to change, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you take us as we are, broken, and you clean us up, and you empower us and give us a mission that brings us freedom and joy. And we just praise you for your faithfulness. For your glory, we say, amen. God bless you.